Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord God. Wow. I just sense the presence of God here. I want to share with you this morning about this phrase and then a bunch of scripture on it. He sent his word. He sent his word. So let's go to the book of Luke in the first chapter, and we're going to look at two verses. So this is when the angel has come to visit Mary, and he's told her that you're going to have the Son of the Most High, and he'll sit on David's throne, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob, and of the end of his kingdom there will be no end. So those words were prophesied by the angel into this earth. And then he told her how, after she said, how can this be as I'm a virgin? And I want us to pick up in verse 37. He's already explained to her how it will happen, this miraculous conception. And then he says, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. The word nothing there is two words, and it literally means no word. No rhema. No rhema. No word that we have received in our heart with the power of God operating in it. Doesn't matter what's going on, nothing will be impossible. And so that is a way of, I see it, of how he sent his word. And then he goes on. It goes on and it says, and Mary said. And I think too often, particularly I've been guilty of it when I'm reading and when I'm even when I'm teaching, Mary says, may it be done to me according to your word. And that's certainly something we want to do, and I don't want to minimize that. But look what she said first. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. She saw herself totally submitting to him and the word that was sent to her. And in doing so, then she says, may it be done to me according to your word. So no word sent from the mouth of God can help but come true. And if we do what Mary did, we submit ourselves to him, we believe that word and act on it, then it will be done according to us. So these I kind of look at as the final words that were spoken concerning the sending of Jesus to the earth. The words that sent him to the earth. And how did Jesus come about? Well, there were many words that were spoken about him. So this morning I want to look at a few of them. We're only going to look at five. Words that I believe were spoken by the Lord through his prophets. These words are what caused Jesus to manifest his, because what? No word of the Lord shall be impossible. So the first one is Genesis 3:15, and this is really the first prophetic one that I'm aware of, where the Lord is talking after Adam and Eve have sinned, and he says, I will put enmity between you, talking to the snake, the devil, and the woman, and between her, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. Literally, that means he will crush your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Big difference there, isn't it? So we get a foretaste of what has been in the Lord's heart, I would say, from eternity forward. Jesus was sent for us, and he was bruised on his heel, but he crushed the enemy of our soul. And then in Numbers 24, verse 17, and I will read the whole part, and I'll tell you what I want to focus on. He says, I see him now, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And then it says, a star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall arise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and the tear down all the sons of Sheth. But focus on this part. See light coming. A star shall come forth from Jacob. Now, what was said about Jesus? He was the light of the earth, and in his life, in his light was the, or is the life of men. So light and life coming forth, spoken by the Lord, sent to the earth. And pay attention too to this comment about a scepter shall rise from Israel. And what is a scepter? It's what a king holds in his hand and what he decrees with, things that'll happen. And we'll pick up on this more in a moment. And then Jeremiah 23. So these words now were spoken from thousands of years to several hundred years before Jesus was born. In Jeremiah 23, the fifth verse says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." Glory be to God. Again, just words spoken about what Jesus would be. Now let's go back to that scepter. No, I want to read verse 6 first before I go any further. Verse 6 here says, "In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." So here we have a word being sent forth through the prophet, talking about what Jesus is going to do. Focus first at physical Israel, but you'll see available for us all. And what is the name that he's going to be called? The Lord, our righteousness. So I want you to begin to see not just these are words that are sent forth concerning the birth of Jesus, but these are words that have been sent forth concerning you and I today. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, and let me just comment quickly. The last word there was the Lord our righteousness, and that is the same righteousness now that we have. The exact same righteousness. Nothing we earn, but that was made for us. So then Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Now, when I read this, it makes me think of a commentary that Jesus gave concerning this God with us. What did he tell his disciples? Talking about Holy Spirit, he said, today he is with you, but there's coming a time where he's going to be in you. So another prophetic word about God with us, and Jesus clarifies it with another prophetic word in saying, no, it's not just with you, it is in you. And then the fifth and last one that we'll read is in Micah 5, verse 2. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," I can't read that right hand word, "too little amongst the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel." His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So from that, we know that Revelation tells us he was the Lamb slain before time. These words spoken from the heart of God concerning Jesus, but also concerning you and I. And so now, with that, let's go to Luke 2. And since it's Christmas season, we're going to talk about some of the things that were said. And I'm going to pick up in verse 9, but Jesus has been born in the manger in verse 6 and 7. And verse 8 says there were some shepherds there, and then the angel appears. So here's another announcement, pronouncement from heaven, from the heart of God, from the voice of God. And it says, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened." Now I'm reading from New American Standard for most of these. Verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" And then he said, "Behold." Now, Pastor Trey tells us behold means this is coming, what's coming is important. Check it out. Look at it closely. And then he says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Now, let's just stay here a minute. Don't be afraid and listen to what I'm about to tell you. "I will bring you good news." In the Greek language, the words that are used for good news is also, the root of that is where we get the words gospel, or the word gospel. So you could substitute that actually. And then what's he bringing us good news of? Great joy. Great joy. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it tells us that Jesus is our hope, our joy, and our crown. So in essence, what he's proclaiming here, he says, "I bring you the gospel of Jesus, which will be for all people." Man, that just stirs my inside. Do you see what the Lord is doing here? For all people. Let me get ahead of myself. In a little while, I'm going to ask a question about what are we focusing on. But with this statement, what I want you to see, and please don't hear my heart in this before you become critical about it. We say often, Jesus is the reason for the season. And everybody would nod yes. But do you see what this is saying? I bring you the gospel of Jesus, and that's the reason for the season. You, all people. Jesus is the reason we celebrate. Jesus is the gift that was given. But beloved, you and I are the reason for this season. Now that just creates a whole different view. I'm not demeaning Jesus. In fact, I'm exalting him in saying that. Glory, glory, glory. And then verse 11 says, For today, and we too in this time can say, for today in the city of David there has been born for me, for you, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord. Now the word there for Savior is the word in the Greek language, S-O-T-E-R, soter. And it literally means a deliverer. But the root word for soter comes from the word that is used for to be saved, sozo. Sozo, if you probably pronounce it correctly, but I won't worry about that. But let's just remember, sozo also is translated healed. It's also translated made whole. So for you, there has been born a Savior, a deliverer from our sins, which is what most people celebrate here. But if we understand the fullness of that salvation, it's also healing. In fact, I'll say it's a spiritual healing. It's a healing in our soulish realm, in our mind, will, and emotions. And it's that healing in our body as well. Let's go on from 11 to 12. It says, "There'll be a sign for you. And you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then 13, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts saying, glory to God in the highest. And I'm going to read two translations here. The New American Standard says, and on earth, peace among men with whom he's well pleased, or with whom he is pleased. Now, the King James and the New King James says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So here again, we see the reason for Jesus' birth. Now, when it says peace here, too many people take this and say, oh, God is wanting peace on the earth. That's not what he's saying. He said, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. What he's saying is, I am proclaiming the one who is coming to bring peace between heaven and mankind. To quote Andrew Womack, the war is over. Peace and goodwill toward men. Now, with whom he is well pleased, goodwill to men, that's salvation. And what does salvation encompass in all? We've told you some, but it means safe, it means to preserve, it means healed, it means to make whole, and to do well. That's the pronouncement that the angels are making toward all men. And he's making it toward us today. Glory be to God. And then in verse 21, it reveals who his name is. It says, and when his 8 days were completed or had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, which was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, the Hebrew word that is used for both Jesus and Joshua is the word Yeshua, which comes from a word Yasha, which literally means Jehovah saves. So all this tied together, but what I want you to see here is that there's much more being proclaimed here than just a ticket to heaven. And it's for you, just as the verse that we read earlier in verse 11 starts off, for today, unto you a Savior is born. Glory to God. So, might I say that we've seen some ways that that the Lord has sent his word concerning his Son, who's bringing salvation to all mankind, spirit, a brand new, never before existing spirit. That's what we've been created into. Soul, peace to rule in our mind, because we know we're at peace, we're in right standing, we have been made righteous, the righteousness of God. All these things we've seen in his word. But let's address this thing about healing, because this is healing school. So I'm just going to go through three verses, so you'll have more than one witness, on other prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Covenant. In other words, words that were sent to you and I today, words that call Jesus into existence in this earth. And we're going to start in Malachi 4, verse 2. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise. Now, do you remember we talked earlier about the prophecy about the star arising and coming forth from Jacob? Light. The Son, light, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Now to me, that is a perfect depiction of joy. That's how I see the man at the gate beautiful. When he went walking and leaping and praising God, he had a whole new revelation of who Jesus was. In his spirit, I think, became recreated at that point in time. In his soul, he began walking and leaping, rejoicing, jumping for joy like these calves about the stall. And then his body was healed and he was doing it physically. So another example of spirit, soul, and body. The other thing that I'll mention here is when it talks about with healing in his wings, the word there, wings, literally means a beam or a beam of light. So again, a light arising with healing in his wings for you and I. And then there's a beloved, for me anyway, I think a number of you, Psalm 103. And so let's just go through the first five verses because I don't like to start in the middle of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, just pause there. What did Mary say to the angel when he came to her proclaiming what was going to happen? Consider me your bondslave. Total submission to him. That's what I believe this verse is instructing us. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Plural. I am not diminishing the being born again in creation of a new spirit inside us that gets us to heaven. But we must see that as we dwell in our Canaan land, which I believe is this state we are in now, of being born again and living with the fullness of the Spirit in us, that's the same as Canaan land, we need to see that we have benefits just like they did. And they starts to name them then in verse 3. Who pardons all of our iniquities. And there's just a comma there. There's no period. It doesn't stop there. Then it says, who heals all of our diseases. So this is the psalmist writing these things thousands of years, hundreds of years before Jesus. And he's declaring who he's going to be. Who redeems your life from the pit. Now you would normally think about the pit of hell. That's fine. But just remember this phrase, the pit. We've been delivered from it and all the power that it can hold over mankind. Who crowns you with loving kindness. That's the Hebrew word hesed, which is a covenant love that he's exhibiting to us. And compassion. And then verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So I would just put this for your consideration. When we read the earlier prophecies, those five, and there's many more, about Jesus, the Lord sending his word into the earth to bring forth Jesus. When we read those, I dare say that every one of us says, yes and amen, I believe that, and we can grab a hold of it. But do we believe these two verses that we just read with the same level of enthusiasm, the same fervor, the same confidence? Because we've already seen God gave Jesus for you today. And it says that he forgives our sins and he heals us. So we need to believe those. And this next one that we're about to read, and this is where we're going to spend the most time. So go with me to Psalm 107. And I want to read through the four verses, and then I want to come back and talk about them. But I want to tell you, I believe verse 7 is the word that the Lord has for you and I today. And some of us have been looking for a word from the Lord to hold on to. Particularly in this season when a lot of people feel sadness, or a lot of people as the year end comes begin to evaluate themselves and they don't see themselves as worthy. Hold on to what the Lord is about to say to us, what you know it in verse 20. But I want to start with the first two verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loveness, his hesed, his covenant love is everlasting. Can I say that concerning that last phrase, I don't want you to think that his covenant for you, covenant love for you, just exists from today forward in the everlasting in that direction. You were known by the Lord from everlasting past. That love has been there for you, for each one of us. And that's just why I tell people, we had a gentleman who was born again Sunday morning here. And that's why I tell them that God has known you. He's caring about you from the day of eternity. And if you were the only one who was needed him, Jesus would have come for you. We've got to see this, that, and I'll say it sounds selfish, but I'm the reason for this season so that Jesus could be the gift that I receive. Verse 2 continues on, and it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I want you to say with me, if you can raise your hand and say, I am the redeemed of the Lord, to say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. You ready? I am the redeemed of the Lord. And we can also say, he has delivered me from the hand of the adversary. Glory be to God. Now let's jump down to verse 19. We'll read through 22 and then come back and talk about them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Verse 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the Son of Man. 22. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. So let's go through these, but let's start in verse 21. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his covenant love and for his covenant words that he sent forth to us. Now, these words are referring to the covenant in the Old Testament. But all of the benefits of the Old Testament belong to what? To you and I. Belong to whom? They're included because Jesus paid the price and walked perfectly. He did the first two verses in Deuteronomy 28. And all those blessings there belong to us. We also are to give thanks for all the wonders to the sons of men. And so for Healing School today, I bet you there are many, many of us in here who can raise our hand saying, I've experienced the wonders of his works in my body. This is something that we need to be continually thankful for because it keeps us focused on what he can do. Verse 22 then says, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. I am convinced that when we give thanks for all he's done for us, and we do it from a personal standpoint, that is one of the highest forms of praise that we can ever have. And then it finally says, and tell of his works with joyful singing. So we need to be telling of what he's done. And what does Revelation say? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we tell what Jesus has done, we're putting words out in the air that will allow him to do it again for you and for others. So that's part of this sending the words that you're going to see we are responsible for. And look how we're to do it. With great joy. Now let's go back to 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Don't raise your hand. But if I asked you to, I bet you every hand would go up in here if I said, has that been you at some point in our life? And you may say, yeah, it was about 40 minutes before I came to Healing School. So we're constantly doing that. But look what it said. It says it saved them out of their distresses. Now that word distresses there literally means a tight place or pressure. And that's what the devil does. He tries to just continually put the pressure on you through words, through some physical things, through anxiety and worrying. And so it's fine that we cry out to those. That word can mean, and it literally means to be put in a tight place by an opponent. So certainly it could include sickness and disease. The word saved here is the Hebrew word yasha, which means open and wide and free. And that is the root word for Yeshua, the one who came to bring healing to us. So we're just beginning to see over and over that salvation today includes deliverance, it includes healing, it includes wholeness, it includes soundness, and the list just goes on. And then we go to verse 20. He sent his word, and let's just take that phrase. The word there in the Hebrew for sent literally means to send out or to send out from. It can also mean to send away. But isn't that what happened? The Lord sent his word out of his mouth through the mouths of the prophet and declared them in the earth. And what do we know? He watches over his word to perform it. No word of his is impossible. So he sent his word. Now, Christmas time here, he also sent Jesus out from heaven, bringing heaven to earth. And what do we pray in what I consider the model prayer? If you talk about the Lord's Prayer, for me, that's John 17. But in the model prayer, he says, let it be as it is in heaven, on earth. Wow. Everything except laying down this physical body, if Jesus delays his coming for us, we can have heaven here on earth. So at the same time he's sending out words of healing, he's sending forth Jesus, who is our healer. Now, John 1:1, let's just be sure we tie this into it. There's some great verses in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning, talking about Jesus with God. 3, and things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4, in him was life. Can I say it this way? In him is life. Today, the angel said, salvation is coming to you. And the life was the light of men. And then verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Other translations say it could not overcome it. The devil has no answer for his life working in you. Amen. Now, look down while we're here at verse 14, because this is what describes what we're celebrating in this season. And the Word became flesh. He sent his Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, John writes, as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And a little later in the chapter, it says that grace came. He didn't just send the law, or he didn't send grace like he did send the law. He sent his Son, grace embodied in him. Now, this is Jesus, the foundation of the world, who was sent, who we're talking about. And I say I want it to be personal because remember what we saw in Micah 5:2, that he thought about this from eternity past. That's how long you've been in the heart, on the mind of the Lord God. The word healed there, if you'll go back to verse 20 of 107, Miss Mary. The word healed there in the Hebrew is the word Rapha. And listen to what Rapha really means. Now, you know it's a redemptive name. And so you just declared earlier that I am the redeemed of the Lord. So part of your identity ought to be what this name declares. And that's what that banner on to my left in the rear of the sanctuary says. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. But listen to what heal implies. To restore to pristine condition. And that spirit, soul, and body. Now, we like the phrase justified. Just as if I'd, what? Never sinned. But if this word heal means to restore to a pristine condition, then we ought to be able to say, the Lord has restored me just as if I'd never been sick. That's you, Mark. Free. Wide open. No darkness in you. The light came to work in your life. How about our soul? Well, Isaiah 54:14, I'm not going to show this one, says that when we are established in righteousness, which also is that free gift, it's being in right standing of Him. And don't tell me you don't feel righteous. The Lord declared you righteous. You don't have a right to say anything else. You and I don't. So that verse goes on and says, when we've been established in righteousness, that we will be free from all oppression and fear. No despondency. So that's who we are, and that's when we say, I am the redeemed of the Lord, you're saying so much more than I'm just going to heaven. And again, I'm not demeaning that. I look so forward to seeing what all heaven is. I think the Lord doesn't tell us more about it because we would want to just get there and forget the serving here on this earth. Now, this verse ends by saying, delivered from their destructions. The word for destructions in the Hebrew language means a pit. A condition that we could not get out of by ourselves. Oh, do you see the fullness of what He's done for us? Now, for us today, and when Jesus was sent to the earth, the Lord didn't continue prophesying about Jesus, but He began to send His word and speak to us through Jesus. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, sending His word about Jesus, here in these last days He's spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. So this tells us that part of the way the Lord sent His word for us to see is through the life of Jesus and what He did. So I want to look in the remaining time we have at two examples of healing. I've got five that I'll just list the other three. We won't go through those for time's sake. Go to Matthew 12 with me. And I want you to see here the word sent by Jesus with healing power and deliverance, able to remove the people from the destruction that had come against them. So in Matthew 12, verse 9, Jesus has gone into his city, and verse 9 says, departing from there, He went into the synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus. Now, isn't it a shame that religious people question healing which is what they're questioning, more than the world does even. So they questioned Jesus, asking this question, is it lawful on the Sabbath? And what were they doing? Trying to accuse him. Same things, same type of thing the devil will accuse us of, maybe in our own life. In verse 11, and he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, which could lead to its destruction, could lead to its lack of not having any food, it's something the sheep could not get out of by himself, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? So here's that word pit appearing for the third time, those words going forth. How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? How much more valuable then is Fred, is Robbie, is Sonia, is Michelle than a sheep? You mean to tell you how valuable? We sang it in those two songs this morning. He sent his only son. He sent his word. He healed us. The song actually talked about how he sent his word. And then in the last song we sang, we saw the redeeming act that he came for you personally. So verse 13 then says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, how could a man whose hand is withered up, and I always had the vision that his arm was for some reason, but it's just his hand. How could he do something that he couldn't do? Like Mary, he believed the Lord, and so he began to act on it, to do something that he couldn't do. And when he did, that word that Jesus sent forth, stretch out your hand, the power of God hit him, and his hand was made well. And look what it says about it. And it was restored just as the other. So what did Jesus do? He sent his word. He sent the promises of the covenant. He declared who the Father was, Jehovah Rapha. Those words brought the power that brought healing to him. And he and I want you to notice this. It was restored to normal. It was restored back to that pristine condition that we read about earlier in the Hebrew word. So you want another one? Let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter. Now, let me just remind you, we're talking about the word going forth and healing, that over and over in our Bible, we see that they came to hear Jesus and to be healed. So we see that Jesus, when he was declaring, even Luke 4, 18 and 19, what he'd been sent to do, those words he was sending were filled with power. And can I remind you then, at this point, of what Reinhard Bonnke has said? I don't have time to tell you all the situation about it, but real quickly, he wanted to have a healing service in his youth when he was a young evangelist, and he heard of a man who operated in gifts of healings, and he invited him. The guy came, and he told him, tomorrow at the service on Saturday, healing will take place. You'll see the power of God. And he said it that way. So when Reinhard went to pick him up the next morning, he had a suitcase. He said, Lord told me to go home. You conduct the meeting. And Reinhard said he was not real happy, but he went into prayer, and the Lord spoke to him and said, see, let me make sure I say this correctly. My words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. That's the way Jesus operated. That's the confidence we ought to have of who we've been made to be. So let's look at this one. So when he had completed all the discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, what do you reckon he heard? Words being sent forth of Jesus heals all. Hey, even the guys who were the worst sinners who went to him to get healed, they came away healed. Those were the words that they were hearing. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come in and save the life of his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now, let me stop. In another gospel account of this same event, Jesus says these words back to him, "I will come and I will heal." Now, the two reasons for healing school. One, so that people can be set free. The other is to prepare us to set people free, or the Lord to use us to set people free. Are you and I willing to come and say to somebody, ask us to do it, "I will come and I will heal"? His words in your mouth are just as powerful as they are coming from him. So Jesus starts on his way with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further." Now that one, there's several times that it talks about that. With the, when the woman with the issue of blood interrupted the healing, or Jesus going to heal the daughter of the synagogue official. And they came to Jesus and said, "She's died, don't trouble him." Saints, I don't see Jesus troubled at all. And I can tell you, for me to go lay hands on people in the hospital, as that we've had opportunities to do, and see the Lord take them off of their deathbed where they were willing to unplug. This one family was wanting to unplug from, he was on a two heart things. He had dialysis going. He was just near death. He had died several times. And we led him to the Lord, and I simply prayed for him. These were the words I said, "Lord, he belongs to you, heal him." And I walked out of ICU with those words. And I get a call the next day saying, "He wants you to come see him." And I must confess, my flesh wanted to think, well, I thought he would probably been dead by now. And I said, "Okay." And I said, "What's happened?" And I did take time to explain to this person who we went to church with, I didn't know this man from Adam's house cat, that I had gone and what had happened. She said, "Well, that explains it then." Because she said, later on Friday afternoon, he began to change, and they started just unhooking one wire by itself, took the intubation out, and he was restored, sitting up in bed talking, just as you and I are talking. I wasn't troubled at all to take time to do that. And the result will be the same for you if you do it, because he's no respecter of person. The same Holy Spirit is in you. So Jesus starts on his way, and when he's not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason I did not consider myself even worthy to come to you." But just what? Say the word, or might we say, send the word, and my servant will be healed. Next verse. "For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Saints, it's important that we too need to know we are a man or a woman under authority, submitted wholly to our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, who's sitting on the throne. And when we do that, then the Spirit that He has placed inside us can go to work. And the words that you're going to be speaking are not just going to be words. They're going to be anointed words. And that's the difference. And he said to that guy, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. In verse 10, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health, pristine condition, fully restored. We could talk about the 10 lepers. Go show yourselves to the priest. We could talk about the woman who was bowed over with the spirit of infirmity, and Jesus laid hands on her in Luke 13, and she was delivered. Or the nobleman's son who came begging to Jesus, you got to come with me. And he said, go home, your son's healed. He sent his word, and he healed. So the question today for us, if we're talking about ministering, and if we're talking about believing for ourselves, and I'll say this unashamedly, if you come up to somebody for prayer, and you don't have confidence that the anointing is on them for anointed words to come out, then you're wasting time, your time. You must believe that the people who are speaking these words are anointed, because it's anointed words that heal. It's not words that people can just memorize a verse and say it. It's words that are coming out from our spirit. So the question, excuse me, today is, who are the people that sends out His words today? Who are the people that will declare His covenant of healing? Well, I would submit it's you and I. So let's look at Mark 16. We'll just read two verses and close. Jesus, in His last dissertation in Mark's gospel account, tells the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, it sounds kind of like what the angel said, doesn't it? Back up there, Miss Mary, one. Who's it for? All mankind. What good news are we declaring? The gospel of Jesus, the same that the angels were doing, to all creation. And then he says, since we're in healing school, on the 18th verse, and I just want to focus on this part, the beginning of the third line. They, you and I, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those are the words that have been sent forth from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Himself. Who are we to say, I can't do that? Remember, you've already said, every one of you I saw, I am the redeemed of the Lord. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus with power to go about getting rid of all the things the devil had done resides in you. So today, let me just encourage you, if you're here believing for a healing, receive this word from me as the Lord's words for you today. Whether you're looking for something physical, or if you're having trouble with thoughts, or your soul is not in the, it's not prospering, I'll say that to be scriptural from 3 John 2. The Lord sent His word, and it has healed you. It is yours to submit to take it, and to walk in that free, wide-open place that we saw the Hebrew word for salvation meant earlier. Let's pray as we close. Father, I thank You today that You sent Your Son for me and for every one of these individuals who's listening to my voice or who's watching on the video. Father, that you love each one of us so much that if it had just been one of us, you would have done it to restore us back to yourselves, to put us in that righteous condition so that there's no enmity, there's no ill thoughts, ill will between heaven and me. Thank you, Lord, that you took care of the sin issue and the punishment for our sin, which included diseases, anxieties, have all been carried away by our Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just declare today, everyone who's hearing my voice, healing belongs to you. And so, Father, we just begin here today, and maybe in the homes of people who are watching, to just reach out and begin to take that which you've already given to us. We possess your word. Just as we possess the free gift of Jesus, we possess those healing words that have been sent forth. And it's in his name we have prayed, and it's through him we are receiving your grace. Amen and amen. Okay, Bruce. So, pardon my dry throat. If any of you would like prayer individually, Pastor Trey will be here, I'll be here, and we will love to talk to you or lay hands and pray on you. Don't leave here today not impacted by that word. He sent his word, and I could name every person here, and he healed you. That is his covenant love to us today. Bless you guys. We'll see you next week at Healing School.